thanks for coming in, Mark.
We particularly asked you to come back because there was one agenda that we didn't have a chance to address when I saw you in the consultation earlier on this week. And that was the one about your weight. Perhaps before we go into to any details about that, we could start off getting a feeling about why that came up as a subject this week. And perhaps you could tell me a little bit about how you feel about your weight at the moment.
I'm really struggling with my weight. So, I mean, I came to you this week because I've been in a road accident, suffering from problems with my neck and my back. But at the moment, I am struggling with my weight as well. I've struggled for several years and tried different diets but can't seem to stick to it.
So diets have been something that you've looked at. Is there been any other approach that you've used before?
No.
Okay. And what sort of support have you had?
Very little, really. I've just tried diets myself and sort of managed for maybe a month, 6 weeks, and then lapsed back into just eating, well, what I class as normal again.
But, right, okay. We'll go into the detail about what you class as normal in a second. But perhaps we should try and look at this in a kind of a broader approach as well. Where do you think the issue comes from? Is it a lifestyle issue, or is it are there emotional health difficulties that are linked with this, or where does it all come from?
It's a lot to do with work as well. I sort of work 30 miles away from where I live, and on a night I tend not to go until about 7:30, so I'm sort of having a meal maybe 8:30, 9 o'clock. So it's a bit late in the day, and I work as a mechanic, and during the day there's a sandwich van comes in, things like that, and it's cold, there's hot sandwiches, so you tend to grab a hot sandwich to warm through. It is a bit of a lifestyle issue as well, really, just grabbing stuff when you can with your working and that, right?
Sure. Have there been times when you've been successful with what you've been trying to do in terms of changing your lifestyle?
Yeah, I mean, at times I've sort of managed to lose maybe a couple of stone and thought, oh, I'm on the right road here. And then just sort of thought, I'm managing now, and then you just sort of tend to lapse back in there, and you think, well, I'll put that weight back on now. And it sort of goes on without you noticing.
So easy for that to happen, isn't it? Let's just, for the sake of the recording, maybe talk a little bit about your background as well. You work as a mechanic, and your hours are a little bit awkward when it comes to eating. Who's at home with you?
My wife. I mean, a few years ago I had bits of problems because, well, I lost my brother to cancer.
I'm sorry to hear that.
And then the following year, I lost my son in a road accident.
Oh my God.
So,
how old was your son?
18. It's just things like that sort of like trigger things and.
Can I just check about how your emotional health is these days at the moment?
Still struggle with it a bit.
Do you get any support about that?
No. I tend to avoid that sort of thing. I try and cope with things myself if I can.
But that sometimes makes things difficult.
Oh, yes. Yeah, it does.
So that means that has a knock-on effect to your lifestyle.
Yeah.
The fact that you've taken these knocks in life and things have been difficult for you. And sometimes you take the path of least resistance and go back to previous
habits.
That's
right,
Okay. Can I just check before we go any further on about tactics for helping with your weight? I think it's quite important to address how you are emotionally to see if you're ready to have any sort of intervention or support to help you with your weight. Mood wise at the moment, where are things at?
I control
Yeah.
like uh, I have some bad days, but on the whole, everything's generally good. Yeah.
If you're going to give yourself a mood score, 10's a perfect score, what would be so bad that you would kill yourself? Where would you be on that scale?
Probably like 7, 7 somewhere around about there.
Okay. No thoughts of harming yourself at all?
No.
Have you got any negative habits that spiral or originate in your despair or happen because you're feeling a bit glum?
No, not really. Nothing.
The diet issue was a thing, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's just weird. I've struggled with it for quite a lot of years now.
Yeah.
But it's been worse over the last few years.
That was mostly related to your eating?
Yeah.
What about drinking?
Drinking, years ago, yes, I used to go out quite a bit on a weekend. When you're younger, you tend to, but not so much now.
Yeah.
I might go out on a Saturday afternoon or something like that, just for the wife, have a meal and a few drinks then. But
are you familiar with the concept of units of alcohol?
Yes, yeah.
And how many units of alcohol would be an average for a week?
If a pint's classed as 2, isn't it?
Yeah, usually depends on the strength, but yeah, 2 or 3.
So if it was in pints, it would be sort of 20 units.
Yeah, okay. So there's a calorie value to that,
yeah,
isn't there?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, so at the moment, you're not seeking my help to help you with your emotional health, but it's important to be aware of your emotional health.
Yeah.
And if you're struggling with that, we have options to support you with that.
Right.
And you can sometimes fall off healthy habits when you're struggling.
Yeah.
So be aware that we're here to support you when your emotional health is difficult, and we've got all sorts of ideas of things that we could help.
Yeah.
That's for perhaps a separate occasion to talk more about that. But maybe if we can talk about what you regard as being your target at the moment when it comes to where you want to be with your weight.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'd like to sort of managed to get sort of 4 or 5 stone off as an initial somewhere in that area, because when I was round about that weight, I felt healthy.
Yeah.
I mean, I still know it wouldn't be my ideal weight, but I felt a lot better then.
Yeah. Is there anyone that could help you with that?
My wife would, my wife would.
Is she overweight herself at the moment?
At the moment she is, because she's got a few health issues as well, so she's struggling a little bit at the moment as well.
Do we perhaps need to see you both together and see her for her appointment, and we could talk some ideas through, and maybe we could share this recording with her?
Yeah, I do.
And that might give her some pointers as to where we're going together on this, and then I could see her as well for a normal appointment.
Certainly.
Okay. Alright. It's good to know that you've got some teamwork and you've got some direction in that sense. I think just knowing that there's an issue that you want help with, and knowing that you can make a big difference to your health makes a big difference. Mm-hmm. Do you know what the benefits are of losing weight?
Yeah, it's healthier for you, better on your heart and everything. Yeah. But I'd manage a lot better at work as well, and sort of leisure activities. I mean, we have a camper van now, so we're going away with that.
Yeah.
And obviously things are a little bit of a struggle at times. It would make everything a lot easier.
Yeah. You don't have any heart disease at the moment?
No, I had some blood clots earlier on the year, which I'm getting treated for at the moment.
Which is linked with your size, isn't it?
Yeah,
so
I think
if we can we can help you with that, that would protect you against those clots. You're on something to thin your blood to keep the risk of that down to a minimum. So there are definitely big benefits there. We did your blood sugar a year ago.
Yeah.
We're probably due to repeat that at some stage. An average blood sugar would be helpful.
Yeah.
Because with you being, if I specify this for the sake of the recording, your body mass index is 42.
Right.
Which is classed as class 3 obesity.
Right.
Which has definite links with all the problems that go with being overweight, which is diabetes, the heart disease, problems with cancers as well.
Yeah.
So we know that changing those things, we can do an awful lot to protect you from all those things as well.
Yeah.
So it's important that we acknowledge that as well. Had you thought about any other options apart from what we're probably going to be talking about today, which is what you can do for yourself?
I mean, I had thoughts. I mean, just two or three of my friends have actually had the operation, the bypass, and I had talked about that at one point as well.
Yeah, do you want to talk any more about that today, or do you want to talk about that another time?
I would rather try and lose it myself than go to the east end of an operation, but
sure. Well, why don't we save that for a future occasion?
Yeah,
and then I can go through with you the risks of that approach, the potential benefits from that approach.
Yeah,
but if you're able, with our encouragement and support, to make positive strides in that direction, then that's all to the good anyway, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. Good. All right. What were you hoping that I would help you with today in particular?
Give us some advice on, or enlist us or enroll us on something where I could sort of have a goal to go to and just generally help with what I should be doing and what my diet should be. And I just, sometimes when I have been on diets, I still feel hungry. I can sort of cut down my portions, I can go on to healthier stuff, and then just all of a sudden I just feel really hungry. But it's not knowing what to eat when you have those spells of being hungry.
That's really helpful to have that description to know what sort of things might work for you, and I'll give you some suggestions in a second if that's okay. So from what you've already told me before, your biggest fear is that you're going to have another clot.
Yeah.
But also the background concern that you're going to develop diabetes or have heart disease.
Yeah.
Sounds like those are the sort of things that you're particularly worried about at the moment. Can I just touch on what your wife's health issues are at the moment?
Yeah. I mean, she's got chronic asthma that she's had for a lot of years.
Yeah.
Well, I think more or less since her teens sort of thing. But she has other issues with... I mean, a lot of it's to do with her chest and her breathing, but she's had other problems, problems with her legs, and just other health issues, really, she's had. But and it's just very recently that she struggled with her health, with her weight.
Yeah, okay. Before I tell you what are the possibilities, it's probably helpful to find out where you're at with knowing what the possibilities are. You've already mentioned the surgical side of things. What would be helpful is to explore maybe your baseline understanding of activity levels and diet-wise, what your thoughts are relating to all of that.
Yeah.
Where should we start?
I mean, the trouble I have with activity levels is I sort of work manually as a mechanic. I'm not as on the tools as much as I were. I do a lot of peer work now because I have somebody working for us.
Yeah.
But I set off for work 7 o'clock in the morning, and obviously not getting in until later on at night. There's not a lot of time left for doing anything else.
A lot of people struggle with that activity side of things. But if we could make you just a little bit more active, that could make a big difference.
Yeah.
And some people find that putting an app on their phones, you've got a smartphone.
Yes, I have. Yeah.
If you put an app on your phone, then that can monitor your activity levels, and then you can just make little alterations.
Right.
And all we're looking for is just little bits of doing a little bit more if you can.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Raising your heart rate just for 5 or 10 minutes every day, preferably 5 times a day, but every day a little bit, makes the world of difference for the health of your heart and potentially for your use of energy. So it protects your heart in the long term, but it also gives you a chance of burning off some of that extra energy as well. So always sit down when you're having a meal. So have meal times, and we need to work on this snacking culture. That's worthwhile. You mentioned that you might want some organised support, and maybe that your wife and yourself could come to something that we can put on, because that does make a difference too. So we have a project called Move to Improve, where we can offer people that have got other health problems, and undoubtedly you and your wife do have other health problems, so we can support you with activity levels together with diet.
Right.
But it's worth worthwhile you and me just talking a little bit today about the sort of things that might make a difference for you. And I'll give you a copy of this audio recording so that you can remind yourself more about what we've talked about.
Yeah.
Because it's not that easy to remember everything that you've talked about.
That's right.
Good. I want to come back again to this target thing, because you wanted to lose 2 stone, 2 or 3 stone if you could, or maybe a little bit more.
Yeah, a little bit more, yeah.
I think it's important to try and make things doable and realistic for you so that you don't lose all hope and perspective in this. I do find that even maintaining your weight is a really worthwhile goal for some people.
Yeah,
I know that you're capable of losing that 2 or 3 stone because you've done it before. Mm-hmm. So I know that if we support you in the right way, you're going to be able to do it.
That's right.
But I don't want you to lose heart if you're not always achieving your target.
Mm-hmm.
So be aware that we can protect people from developing diabetes by maintaining weight rather than just losing weight.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Good. Other interventions that work, you've already mentioned that you did something that changed your weight and it lasted for a wee while.
Yeah.
Just remind me on what worked.
I was just, I was cutting down my portions of what I was eating.
Mm-hmm.
On a night, sometimes I was having something to eat at work, maybe a sandwich or something, 5 or 6 o'clock before I left work, and then not bothering with the meal on the night, things like that. And it did make a difference. I was just trying to maintain it that was awkward.
What happened that stopped you from being able to maintain it?
A lot of things at work, because I do recoveries as well at work, so sometimes you can get to 5 or 6 o'clock and be called out on a recovery, so then you drop everything, do that, and then it could be 9 o'clock before you get in at night, and it's a lot of it's down to work. And it's just eating the wrong stuff, really, grabbing things, and because you're on the go and you think, rather than having got 5 minutes to make something, so like you say, the sandwich van comes in, you grab a hot sandwich and
so if it was possible for you to be organised and always to have the healthy option to hand to be able to predict those eventualities, that would perhaps be a healthy thing, wouldn't it? Okay, maybe we could talk a little bit more about, so we mentioned a little bit about activity and some of the things that can work for that. Maybe we can talk about diet and the type of diet that might work for you. So what diets do you prefer? Have you come across any diets that you've liked the sound of or that you think might work for you?
I know a lot of people having success with it. Is it Slimming World? My niece, she's lost about 9 stone in the last year.
Great.
Slimming World. She said she never felt hungry at all.
Great.
And she looks really well with it. Yeah.
So we need to find a diet that is enjoyable.
Yeah.
That you can carry on long term.
Yeah.
And one hopefully that fills you and keeps you full for longer.
Mm-hmm.
So worthwhile just exploring what it is that Slimming World do.
Yeah.
That makes a difference with that. Have you got any thoughts about?
I've never looked into it. And I've never known anything about it. It's just what people have talked about. That was all.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, there's 3 diet options that I normally discuss.
Mm-hmm.
From what you're saying, it might well be that one of the diets that's offered in Slimming World is a diet called the low GI diet.
Right.
And the way the low GI diet is ideal for people that are prone to diabetes.
Right.
And the problem with people who've either got diabetes or are prone to diabetes is that they can't deal with their sugar effectively.
Mm-hmm.
So they absorb sugars from their food, and the insulin they have doesn't do the job of taking that out of the bloodstream, and the sugar level stays high.
Right.
But when you have a sugary meal, it goes into your bloodstream really quickly, and all of a sudden it goes out of your bloodstream really quickly if your insulin's working properly.
Right.
And then you feel hungry again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So having refined carbohydrate meals, so sugars in particular, they tend to be absorbed really quickly. So fast food is classical for this sort of problem. In the you feel hungry, you eat quickly, gets absorbed quickly, and it goes out of your system really quickly, and then you start feeling hungry. So what you want is a sustained release system.
Yeah.
You want a low GI food that you eat that stays in your stomach or stays in your system for a longer period of time,
mm-hmm.
and then you don't feel quite so hungry.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's one option, and that might be something that you would want to explore. So there's really good evidence that whatever diet you use, providing you can do it long term, it will work.
Yeah.
But it has to be something that fits with your lifestyle. So the low GI diet is that first one, and I can give you more written information about that to give you a feel for how that would work, and then maybe you could come back and get more information, or maybe you probably want to do some searches on the internet about some recipes for the low GI diet.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And maybe you and your wife could think about getting some cookery books that would go along with that.
Yeah, sure.
So that's one option that might suit you. The other one, couple that are worthwhile thinking about is the Mediterranean diet. The Mediterranean diet has got the best level of evidence when it comes to talking about protecting the heart.
Right.
So reducing your risk of heart attacks and strokes.
Mm-hmm.
It has a high fish content. It includes quite a bit of bread and some olive oils and natural oils, but a lot of grain, and probably the grain and cereals, unrefined cereals, is the key to that.
Yeah.
So when you're choosing breads, you want the grainy versions, you want the unrefined versions whenever you get a possibility of choosing that sort of thing. So you need to look into that. But I think an organisation like Slimming World would be perfect for supporting you to make your choice of whatever diet you wanted to go with, and allowing that actually to translate into the reality of the snacks that you're having when you're at work and eating meals when you're at home. But be cautious about the drinks that you're consuming, because when you're talking about fruit juices, they have a lot of natural sugars in them. You shouldn't be choosing options which have got sugars in if you can.
I tend to drink quite a bit of water as well.
Yeah.
But I do drink a lot of coffee at work as well, which probably isn't the best thing, is it? Or
I'm not sure that there's a great deal of evidence that coffee's harmful in that respect.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's probably not a major issue, I don't think.
Right.
As long as you're not adding sugar to that, of course.
No.
But a lot of people forget that alcohol's got a substantial carbohydrate content,
mm-hmm.
and remember that carbohydrate is high GI, so it's quite sugary, goes into your system quickly, and it causes a lot of people to have what we call central adiposity, and that means the fat tends to be around the waist, and that seems to be linked with a slightly higher risk or a higher risk of getting heart disease as well, and being prone to diabetes.
Yeah.
So it's worthwhile about bearing that one in mind. The third major option is quite appealing because it seems to help people lose weight quite quickly.
Mm-hmm.
It's called the FAST diet, or the 5-2 diet. And it stems from the thought that back in the day when we were living in caves, that we didn't have reliable meals.
Yeah.
And some of the time that you would have a feast, and some of the times you would have famine. So what happens in this diet is that you choose 2 days a week where you have very low calories.
Alright.
So for a man you would have 600 kilocalories, and for a woman you'd have 500 kilocalories. And basically you're usually just avoiding carbohydrates on those particular days. You know what I mean by carbohydrates. So on those days you skip the carbohydrates and you have a very regimented plan of what you eat, and the rest of the time, the other 5 days, you don't need to be quite so strict. Eat healthy by all means,
mm-hmm.
if you can, but you don't need to be quite so hard on yourself.
Yeah.
And it makes it doable in the long term,
right.
to sustain your long term weight loss, as long as you stay with one of those diets all that time.
Yeah.
So you could always use the FAST diet to lose weight in the first instance, and then one of the other healthy diets if you prefer to keep that maintenance of weight. But it's always worthwhile keeping in touch with the way that you're feeling, because you won't behave, you'll always revert back to type. If you have a tendency always to snack and not to be as active as usual,
mm-hmm.
when things are difficult, being conscious that that's going to happen and always making sure that you're keeping that regime off and it's going to be enjoyable, it's going to be doable, but you've always got to keep that habit of keeping active even when you're feeling a bit glum. It's really important to keep on with that. One thing that happens in people who have type 3 obesity, which is the group of the body mass index is above 40, and much more prone to getting other problems with their health as well.
Right.
It's worthwhile me just exploring a little bit about this, and I think we've probably touched on this before. Do you find that daytime sleepiness is a problem?
Sometimes, yes. Okay. Yeah, I feel tight a lot. Yeah. A lot more tired than I ever so. Yeah.
And that can be tied in with high blood pressure. Mm-hmm. I think your blood pressure is fine. I think we checked that and it was 122, so I was really pleased with your blood pressure.
Yeah, I'm on tablets for blood pressure anyway to control it. So
losing 5 kilos, 10 kilos, and I know I'm working a different currency for you, but if you lost a stone, you might well find that you wouldn't need so many of your blood pressure tablets.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it certainly protects you against getting diabetes.
Yeah.
So, can I check, have we ever talked about sleep apnea before?
I had a monitor on several weeks ago now, but I've heard nothing about the results or anything. Okay. The hospital...
So we're part way down the road to trying to find out whether you really have sleep apnea. Or just for the sake of the recording in that case, be helpful for us just to talk about how likely is it that you would fall asleep during the day?
I do get really tired spells where I could doze off. But obviously with keeping busy at work, you don't. But if I was at home and just sat in the chair watching telly or something like that, it'd be quite easy for us to...
Does it ever happen in traffic?
No, not... I've felt tired before and I've pulled over and stopped, but I haven't actually fallen asleep or anything.
You don't drive for a living, but I guess you have to be mobile for your jobs, don't you?
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's helpful to know that. Did you do an Epworth score? So an Epworth score is a list of questions where you have to answer in what situation you're most likely to be falling asleep, and then you have a total.
I did it quite a while ago.
Were the numbers high or low?
I can't remember now. It's quite a while
in between, you maybe. And then, so and the other question related to that was, did you get your wife to watch you sleeping at night?
She often says that I sort of miss a breath and suddenly gasp for air and start breathing again. It's as though I stop breathing for air.
If she was to watch you for, say, a minute, she was to, say, watch you for, say, half an hour or an hour a night, how often would that happen?
I'm not sure, maybe once or something like that, but...
Yeah, so it does happen, though, at least.
I mean, sometimes it's actually warm, because I've been gasping for breath and I've woken up with it,
Okay. That's really helpful, so it may well be that if we were to help you lose that weight, that tendency that you've got to suffer with a degree of sleep apnea would be alleviated. But certainly, until we get to that point, you might feel that you have a lot more energy about you if you use a sleep mask.
All right. Yeah.
So there's a choice of options of what works for sleep apnea. Maybe we could talk about that on another occasion too.
Yeah,
sure. But with having a sleep apnea mask, which just keeps your airways open, that can actually improve your oxygen supply to your brain at night and to make you much less prone to a combination of high blood pressure. And feeling so drowsy during the day. So it protects the heart by having those treatments. You don't always need the sleep mask, though. You may sometimes have a device that you put inside your mouth that helps your mandible, the lower jaw, pull forward. That can sometimes improve your breathing too at night. So there are a couple of options of what might be explored. But the sleep team will go through that with you. Okay. So... how are we going to leave things today from the point of view of where you want to go from your diet? And what you've said to me that I think if I've got this right, you'd quite like us to refer you to move to improve.
Yes, certainly.
Which we'll do.
Yeah.
Okay. And that usually will go through my nursing team, so I'll have a chat with one of the nurses in the practice and make arrangements.
Right.
She may actually prefer to actually see you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. In which case we can arrange that.
Yeah, no problem.
You also sound as if you're interested in, even before you go to move to improve, where they're going to help you with your activity levels together with your diet.
Yeah.
You sound as if you want some more information related to the diet.
Yeah,
that we've talked
about. I'd like that, yes.
Which one do you want to go, or do you want to go for all three?
I would like to look at all three if possible.
Okay.
And,
so if I give you a printout or send you an email with all those details in, then you can look at those, share those with your wife, and then maybe we should be seeing your wife to talk to her about where her concerns lie when it comes to her weight.
Yes, yeah,
if that's okay with
you.
Yeah,
that's great.
From the point of view of the sleep apnea, I'd love to keep in touch with you and you could let me know how you're getting on once they've fully investigated and offered the treatment options, so you could maybe give me a telephone call and just let me know as to where that's going as well. From the emotional health side of things, it sounds like you're a private sort of person.
Yeah.
Which is fine.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's difficult.
Yeah.
So it's always worthwhile being in touch with your own emotions. It sounds like you're on good terms with your wife and might potentially share personal things with her.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
So perhaps she would be your first port of call when it came to, do I need extra support?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Keep open with your wife, share your feelings and thoughts with her, and if your behaviour is changing, and you're finding that what you're trying to do with your weight, with your activity levels, with your diet, the things that are important to you, if that's stopping happening, then she can give you the nudge and say, I think it's about time we got you a bit of extra help and support.
Yeah.
So it's all worthwhile just having a target in mind as to where you want to be.
Mm-hmm.
So this is what the Move to Improve scheme will help you with. They'll be, whilst you're within the program, you'll have them as support.
Yeah.
But you won't always be with them.
Right.
So I just need you to know that then our nursing team and myself as a doctor and the doctoring team here will be there for you to support you through all of that.
Yeah.
So it's worthwhile you telling us what your targets are and then maybe seeing us on a regular basis, or even just talking to us on the phone on a regular basis and saying, this is where I'm getting at. This is where I'm not getting at. What do I need to do to make a difference? But don't punish yourself if you're not always achieving your targets. It's fine to for the time being to stay where you're at. So I'm going to get you to have with my, why don't you see my nurse anyway? Because I need you to have an average blood sugar done on a yearly basis.
Yeah.
Your blood pressure control is excellent. We're pleased with where all the rest of your medications are, because we've just done your medication review this week anyway.
Yeah.
Do you want me to go through any additional figures now?
No.
You've got enough information to know where you're going with all of that. I think we've given you enough information to chew on. So I'm going to give you a printout of the three diet options: the low GI diet, the Mediterranean diet, and the fast diet. And then you can take what you want, and then when you go to the Move to Improve program with your wife, hopefully, then we have an opportunity for you to be better informed and you to be able to say, what do you think about this one? And they can support you to do that. At any time, if you've got any queries, then you can come back to me. Just an additional mention, you're not diabetic and your blood sugars were good, so you're not actually pre-diabetic either, which is good news. But if you had been pre-diabetic, I might have pushed you towards the potential choice of adding a medication in called metformin.
Right.
Now, metformin is a protective medication that reduces blood sugar levels, but it also moderates appetite.
Right.
And that can help people that are prone to type 2 diabetes
yeah.
to protect them from going on to develop diabetes, and can actually help them with their weight as well.
Right.
There's not many medications that we tend to use to help with people to help them to lose weight.
Yeah.
There is still one tablet that's quite commonly used. Mm-hmm. I just want to mention that for the sake of completeness, because I know it's not something we've touched upon already in this recording. Have you got any knowledge of this at all? It's a tablet called Orlistat.
All right.
Now, Orlistat helps people probably change their behaviour more than anything else.
Right.
So, if people have a problem with eating too much fat, energy in terms of fat, then if they take Orlistat, it stops that fat from being absorbed.
All right.
And it has some nasty side effects. Okay. Which helps them change what they do.
Yeah.
Because if they eat the fat, it stays in their gut and then it comes right out again.
Right.
So they tend to have a problem with loose, offensive stools.
Right.
And they can sometimes they can have accidents with that.
Right.
So that's maybe how that works so well.
Yeah.
But it's not normally a long-term treatment. We can sometimes use it for a year or two.
Yeah.
But it sometimes helps people to change the way that they deal with food, the way that their relationship with food. It doesn't sound like the fat's the issue with you.
No.
It's really staying full that's the issue for you.
Yeah.
So we can explore that, and maybe the low GI diet would be a particular aspect of what you're looking at to try and help you.
Yeah, great. Okay.
Good. I'm going to finish the recording now and then print off the leaflets for you. So at the same time, just to read actually what I've put in this consent form.
Right.
So the part of this consent form that's most relevant to you, you're going to sign this one, hopefully.
Yeah.
But the part that's most relevant to you is this one here,
right.
Which is all related to the potential publication of this material.